Day one of the trial, obviously, is jury selection. And as you pointed out, women were not allowed to serve until 1952. Mm-hmm. Maybe William Mabin was tampering with the jurors?
They think that he might have been tampering with the jurors. He has kind of a shady history himself. I believe, if I'm not mistaken, he was disbarred for some unethical behavior. So now they think that maybe former Judge Mabin has been involved with tampering with these witnesses. So there's a meeting with the judge and the attorneys from both sides, and Judge Mabin happens to be sitting in the courtroom. They call him back. I believe it's a 30-minute conversation. Judge Mabin comes out and leaves, and they never see him again. Did he get caught? Did the judge give him a stern warning? The reporters tried to find out and got nothing from him. He basically fled the scene and was never seen again.
So more mystery. Is
more that? Mystery, exactly.
Day two, opening remarks. Then we have day three, Dr. Durrell takes the stand. I don't know if these things trigger your mind or not.
I know that Dr. Durrell was grieving and he was, I believe, crying on the stand when they were asking him about his son. I don't believe he was too much help, but I think they were just establishing the type of son that he had.
Defense attorney Flint Moss is trying to position Phil as being insane at the time of the murder.
Exactly.
All right, so that goes on. Talk to us about that.
Well, as I said earlier, Phil has a shady history. He's run away from home. He's got friends like Claude Wright testifying for the defense that when he was a kid, Phil actually wrapped the cord to the blinds out of a window and jumped out the window with that around his neck. He didn't kill himself, but he jerked the blinds off the wall. Just crazy things, him trying to get together with two Negro gangs in New York, trying to get them together, and him being the ringleader. That's just not something a sane person would do. One of the other things they testified that Phil might have been a little crazy was at the Mayo Hotel. During, I think it was 1932 or 33, they had a big Christmas dance. Phil apparently got drunk and was walking outside on a 2-foot-wide concrete ledge and running around halfway around that building. Now, Jack Snedden, my grandfather, would reach for Phil through an open window to try to pull him back through. That was used as testimony in the trial to prove that Phil was not all there. I don't think that really succeeded. I think it might have been just something a drunk person would have done. Again, we're talking about teenagers. Teenagers do crazy stuff. They think that they're immortal. Nothing will happen to me.
Right. And Alan Mayo was on the stand, who was 19, and then, of course, of the Mayo family.
Exactly. And also dated my grandmother.
Okay. And then we have Claude Wright, who's 19, took the stand. He's the son of the president of Sunray Oil Company in Tulsa.
Yes.
Which lends to this whole aura.
Yes.
And Judge Kenemer takes the stand. What can you tell us about that?
Oh, Judge Kenemer, you know he's going to say things to get his son off, that he means well, and I've done so many things for Phil. I've tried to find him jobs. He shipped him to New York. That didn't work out. He shipped him to California to find a job. That didn't work out. Phil may be a little mentally unbalanced. And so he didn't know what he was doing that fateful night, that Thanksgiving night in Tulsa.
We should say that in day five of the trial, before court resumed, this is how he was treated. Phil is across the street from the courthouse getting a shave.
Yes.
And his friends were there?
His friends were there. My grandfather's there, too. Phil's getting a shave, and he's talking about the rats and about Lee and some other things that were going on. He seems to be pretty cocky and pretty confident.
He's pretty sarcastic, he said, about the defense trying to portray him as insane.
Yeah.
Because he knew he wasn't insane.
Yeah, he knew he wasn't. I believe he said something like, oh, look at me, I'm crazy. He knew he wasn't. But, right. Of course, the defense will say anything to get him off.
Some of his friends there were Robert Thomas, Alan Mayo, as referred to, and Claude Wright, standing laughing with him as he's getting a shave, which really he should have been in jail, but they let him out to do that. Now, your grandmother, Virginia, she was on the stand.
She was on the stand, and she was dressed to the nines. I mean, with a hat, some very nice complimenting descriptions of my grandmother coming up on the stand to testify. And talked about their first date with her and Phil, how she really didn't want to be romantic with them. She just wanted to be friends, keep them at arm's length. She was a love interest in this. She didn't know John Gorell. She didn't know anything about him. She had been told by her brother, Homer, who was told by Phil that her life might be in danger, but they dismissed it because of Phil. I mean, look at the source. Look where this is coming from. Here's some kid that is kind of a little unbalanced anyway, so why should we believe anything he tells us?
Phil's sister, Juanita Hayes, was on the stand as well. But they're trying to position him as being insane. Charles Mason, former Oklahoma Chief Justice, says that he was in the 16th floor of the petroleum building and visiting with Phil, and Phil said this would be a good place to commit suicide.
Yeah, Phil was thinking about maybe jumping out the window. But again, that's just more fodder for proving the fact for the defense that Phil's insane.
And then Phil wanted a beer distributorship. It was Mason who got Phil a job at the Oklahoma newspaper and Times newspapers. He got him a job there.
Yeah.
He stayed there 3 weeks and
he wasn't there very long at all. Again, this is where Judge Kenemer was trying to pull some strings to get Phil a job, hopefully to find something that he would like so he could become a productive citizen. And nothing was working. Nothing. Matter of fact, even Judge Kenemer said, look, hire the kid. I'll pay you to pay him. So it makes it look like he's actually earning a living.